that song. Are we on our way to greener pastures with the Chicago Bears? Maybe, but today's news that we are going to be without running back Matt Forte, who the Bears are not going to re-sign, stings a little bit. I mean, I think we get it, right? We get it as Bears fans that he's a free agent, he costs a lot of money, but at the same time, Matt Forte was not the problem. He hasn't been for eight seasons in Chicago, being one of the more productive backs in the NFL. Sam Pinjanovic, WGN Sports, joins us now. Sam, good to talk to you. Surprise? Probably not.
No, this is something that I thought was coming from, you know, a mile away. You could see the train coming into the tracks really slowly, and that's not a joke on Matt Forte's age or the workload that he's had. It's just dollars and cents. And Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager, wants to be a little bit more frugal with his money. He'd like to spend it in other places. He likes Jeremy Langford, maybe Kadeem Carey, maybe they draft the running back. But, you know, Matt Forte asked for an extension, and usually you don't give it to guys 30 or older. That's just really what it came down to. Forte can pick wherever he wants to go now, and I'm telling you right now, I almost promise you that Bill Belichick made contact today. Mm. Hey, Matt, would you like to come play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, right.
I mean, these are decisions he can make now, because career salary game for Matt Forte, it's about $35 million. He's been paid, the family's well fed, and now he gets to go where he wants.
You know, and he's the kind of back that I think would work in a system like that, because, you know, he catches the ball out of the backfield. I mean, that is his strength. I mean, he's been a great between-the-tackle runner, but man, he set records in the NFL catching the football.
He's actually the most, he's got the most yards from scrimmage in the NFL since he came into the league. He's got 8,600 rushing yards and 4,000 receiving yards.
Wow, unbelievable.
That's the most by any player. And it might make some Bears fans sick, but the two places I think he fits best are New England with Tom Brady and Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Those quarterbacks would find a way to utilize him. He would be so good in those schemes. And, you know, just imagine watching a close game week 15 next year, Bears and Packers, and Matt Forte is the one killing you.
Don't say that, man. That's terrible. That's a terrible thought.
You want me to go? I can leave if you want.
No, one thing about Matt Forte is that he is over 30 and everyone is expecting a decline, but, you know, we didn't really see it. And a lot of that has to do with his work ethic and the way he has publicly has been, you know, you could see it on Instagram and everything, training. He's had such a great couple of years of keeping himself in shape that he really has defied that over 30 hump.
Absolutely. I would have tried to figure something out. I think Forte could have still given you a good 2 years of football. We talk about consistency. We talk about the yards, both receiving and rushing. But, I mean, he was a guy in his eight seasons. He played all 16 games five times. Had a game, had a season where he played 15 games in 2012. He was rarely hurt. And the fewest games he ever played was 12 in 2011. So he was always on the field. He was always ready to go. And you can count on him in more ways than one. He's a great blocker, too. That's the other thing that people don't realize. You know, you look at all the yards, but he was a great blocker. And Jake Seller got his clock clean quite a bit, but if it wasn't for Forte, it would have been more the last 8 years.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, what do the Bears, what do you think? I mean, I kind of made a joke at the top. I mean, we better see this money being spent, right? I mean, do you see Ryan Pace going out and replacing Matt Forte's salary with an all-pro defensive lineman? Or what? I mean, because he's a running back. I mean, he get paid well.
I think he's going to show up a lot on that defense. You know, you have to pay for some linebackers. Danny Trevathan, who's a middle linebacker for Denver, just won a Super Bowl. I don't think the Broncos can afford all of those guys. They've got Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware. Trevathan could be available. I think he's going to more or less build the offensive line, build that linebacking core, draft a couple guys maybe up front in the trenches. But I'm going to give Ryan Pace the benefit of the doubt. You'll miss Matt Forte this year, but you won't miss him in 3 or 4 years. So this is more long-term than it is anything else. Give some guys some reps, chances to grow.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. They're limping into the All-Star break.
Do we have to?
I know.
Jeez,
you and I are going to talk. Yeah, we'll talk bigger picture next week, just sort of giving a mid-season. But today, you know, Chicago Tribune columnist David Haw talked a little bit about the issue we've talked about, which is management accountability. This is going south real quick.
It has been, too. And you and I joked about this. When the Bulls fired Tom Thibodeau last spring, does this make the team better? And I said, I don't think it does. He just fired a top-five head coach who went to the playoffs in all five seasons in Chicago and got the most out of a ragtag roster. This is the same story as far as on the court. The problem is I don't think the players respect the coach at all. I don't think that they think that he knows what he's doing. He came in right away and, you know, kind of you know, pulled the rope back a little bit, which is what they needed. But at some point, the best players need to be coached, and they are not coached very hands-on. Jimmy Butler called his coach out famously, you know, like 20 games into his first season, mm-hmm. and said that he needs to coach him harder. So I'm not sure he has the locker room. And, you know, the more telling story is look at the roster that this regime between John Paxson and Gar Foreman has put together. You got a really slow team that doesn't defend at all. They love to shoot, but they don't love to play on the other end. Your point yeah. guard's been hurt. Jimmy Butler's now hurt. Joakim Noah's out for the season. So it's inconsistency, it's injuries, and I think it's poor roster shaping, to be honest.
But is it possible? Is it just possible the Bulls are just getting some bad luck? I mean, with the injuries to the first day to Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler going on, Joakim Noah, huge part he's out for the year.
Well, that's part of it, too. But, I mean, they still won 50 games last year. And you had guys like Etuan Moore starting, and you had to rely on a lot of younger players. Yeah. Mirotić was really big for them in March last year. So, you know, you can't play the injury excuse if you're management, because you put this team together and you've known for years that this team is going to find a way to get hurt. I mean, Pau Gasol's 36, and there was a report the other day that they might extend him. It's like, what are you doing? He's going to get hurt. You right. know it's going to happen. So both sides of the blame, I think coaching – I think, you know, managerial positions, but also the players. I mean, they're losing to garbage teams. They are 27-25. They haven't been that bad since Vinny Del Negro was here.
Oh, no. Oh, oh. How dare you mention that name.
They're barely in the playoffs.
I know. That's, it's crazy, man.
They're 7th in the East.
It's absolutely crazy. You know, thinking about this team, one of the things you talked about, which I totally see, when you talk about coaching up, you're seeing some of the second and third and fourth year players. And I'm thinking about Tony Snell. I'm thinking about Mirotić. I'm thinking about Doug McDermott, who seem to be regressing in this system where the thought was they were going to take advantage of it.
I'm looking at my television right now. It's the Rising Stars Challenge. It's the USA against the world. And it's a collaboration of players that are either rookies or second year players. And I noticed two things. Damn, those guys can fly. And two, none of them are Bulls. So, I mean, you get the young players in the league, you know, Butler's in his fifth year now, so he's not really that young anymore. But that gaggle of players, Mirotić, McDermott, Portis, Bairstow, okay, maybe you got a couple bench guys there, but you don't have surefire guys that are going to play starting minutes a long time. So, I don't know. This roster's getting older, but at the same time, the young players aren't helping. So, it's a mess.
All right, Sam, you got to come in next week. We'll talk about midseason grades, talk about the Chicago Bulls and what they might or might not do at the trade deadline. Sam Penjanovic, WGN Sports, good to talk to you, buddy.
I'll bring my T-shirt cannon.